Welcome back. My next guest is Nestor Aparicio, doing great things for our community with his Crab Cake Tour, and he's involved in every aspect of our town. He cares. He loves Baltimore. And Nestor, always a pleasure having you on.
How are you? Everything good? It is, you know, I'm in a
hotel
room. If people are watching, I don't have a screensaver. I'm in Toronto seeing the great Geddy Lee. It is snowing outside here in Toronto, as you would expect. I landed in Buffalo. It was snowing in Buffalo. And, you know, it's different landing in Buffalo when they're a Super Bowl contender than when they are whatever they are at this point. You know, Josh Allen's still on every ad in the airport, but there were less people wearing Bills gear in Buffalo than I remember at the last time I was in Buffalo, for sure.
Yeah, I think every fan base is similar in that regard. And also, the other similarity we have this today, Nestor, there's some snowflakes here in Baltimore as well. So there you go. We have that in common.
Well, I guess I brought it to you. Me
you
coming
did.
To Canada made it snow at home. I don't know. But it feels like a long time since the Ravens have played, right? I mean, it feels like a little while. And certainly the Orioles this week, winter meetings, Craig Kimbrell, that's their big news. It's not selling tickets.
Yeah, you know what? It's you have to tell me about this pitcher, right? You know, I'm not the biggest baseball fan. It seems like his best days are behind him, right? I think it's fair to say at 35 years of age, and all I heard was his record last year was 8-6. Certainly not what Felix Bautista brought to the table for the Orioles.
Well, they wanted to make some sort of presence in their bullpen. You know, you lose Felix Bautista, you don't want to go with a what if. And I think when Luke and I get together, and you're going to talk to him at length on your show, and we'll hear it over the weekend as well, they weren't going to spend a lot of money on a starting pitcher. I just don't – where they are in regard to selling the franchise, where they are in regard to debt to the Lerner family, where they are in regard to revenue, because I'm not convinced their revenue's wildly up because they sold some tickets last year. And I certainly they don't have tickets on sale. They don't have a lease. I mean, we could start with them not having – all of this is a factor. And I told Luke this, and I yelled at Luke this week. I'm like, you'll see when it comes time to spend money, their incompetence shines. You know what I mean? Like, this is where John exhibits his will, much like what Wes Moore is seeing and Craig Thompson is seeing with the Stadium Authority. We're going to see what kind of a man John Angelos is, what kind of a businessman he is, where the strategy is, and because he's running it now. His old man could never do it. His old man never really had a strategy, a budget. Maybe when McPhail was there, he came in with some sort of corporate, you know, a budget, a five-year budget, a plan, a strategy. I don't – they're if they have a strategy on Henderson or Rutschman, it certainly isn't being exhibited. The strategy there is wait and see, wait and see. And that was the strategy that led them to Manny Machado. And it's like Luke said, the Rays don't sign their stars for the most part. They sign Wander Franco. Now they may never do it again after his allegations. But there's a point where this is not a franchise that's going to sign on for $150 million extension. They'll sign on for $13 million for a pitcher for 6 months to make it look good. They'll have a guy in the bullpen. They'll say they have young starters. They'll say Means is coming back. Maybe there'll be a trade at some point of their young players. Maybe Kowser and Westberg go somewhere, but it won't be for Dylan Cease, because if that was going to happen, that would have already happened. Other teams are making their moves, but I find it fascinating. They thought their first $13 million needed to be in a closer. That really speaks to Elias not believing in anything they have, and certainly not believing Bautista is going to be ready, because he's not. But it speaks to me about Elias saying it's an Elias signing. If Elias was only going to have X amount of dollars, he decided he wanted to have a guy in the bullpen who was reliable every night. And I can't fault that, but I don't know that Craig Kimbrell is going to come out of that bullpen. They're going to play the Omar music from The Wire again, and he's just going to save 54 games this year while they win 103. I don't look at Craig. I don't look at this as some sort of, oh, we got a guaranteed thing. You bought a really expensive old closer. Okay. I mean, I find that fascinating to be what they wanted to do, what their splash of a $13 million salary would be. I'm a little shocked by that.
Well, I saw on TV the other day, I don't know if you probably caught it, where the Maryland Stadium Authority person, whoever he is these days, was talking, and he said that they might go to a month-to-month lease since the current agreement expires December 30th, the 31st.
Because in March, John will be much more reasonable.
Month-to-month, Nestor, month-to-month for a major league franchise? That really didn't resonate well with me.
Yeah, month to month. I
Month to month.
mean,
What is that about? Month to month,
hey,
because you
I'm at the Jack Torrance level. If you've had 30 years to think this over, you know, you've been negotiating. Tom Kelso is going to come here when he gets well, hopefully next week. 8 years, Tom Kelso spent 200 phone calls with the Angelos family discussing all of these matters to try to get an agreement. They're not people who make agreements, and if they make them, they don't keep them anyway. So handshakes are no good, MOUs are no good, putting the governor up in an Oriole jersey up in the box and having him wave and lying to everybody on the scoreboard, I mean, all that's 5 minutes ago. So to think that there's you're going I remember when Joe Foss told me this for the book when I was and Joe ran the Orioles for the first dozen years that Peter owned them. Joe Foss said to me, when the guy from New York, who was Dick Ravitch, I believe is who it was negotiating with Peter about all the Masson money. You're going to get a network. DC is going to get a TV. You're going to get hundreds of millions of dollars. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You know, Joe Foss said to me, they thought Peter was going to be reasonable. Peter was never going to be reasonable, ever.
Well, he didn't have
So,
to be. That wasn't his MO when he was.
what is going to make John grab that pen and sign the lease? He doesn't feel compelled that he has to.
See.
The thing that's going to make him feel that way is when they're going to say, we're not going to open the stadium. Your team's not going to play baseball April 1st. We're going to call the commissioner and you can go play your games in Frederick, John. You can go play your, you can pound sand. So until the state, and I don't know what kind of big boy pants Westmore has. I really don't. I mean, I don't know if he's ever owned a business, put his foot down. He certainly fought in war. And I haven't talked to West since August. But, you know, there has to come a point where the governor pulls his big boy pants up and says, you're not getting a better deal than what our legislature's given you. It is $600 million, and I'll turn the winds against you. And you can run around town and talk about moving the Orioles. Go ahead. Go to your partners and tell them you're going to move them to San Juan. Go ahead. Tell them you're going to move them to Nashville, where there is no $600 million, where they've already got $2 billion of state, city, county debt. Cumberland County and Nashville put $800 million up. The city of Nashville put $800 million up for the football team already. They're not giving you any money. You're not getting money there. You want to move to Portland? Go ahead. Take that up with Rob Manfred. Go ahead. Try to move the team. That's what I would do if I were governor. If I were governor, if I were mayor, I wouldn't be playing pat. I wouldn't. I'm not petting a snake. I'm not playing patty cake with a snake. I haven't done that with employees. I haven't done that with sponsors. I haven't done that with the community. I haven't done that with Steve Bisciotti. I haven't done that with John Angelos. Or I would not pet the snake. I would not allow John Angelos to dictate terms to the citizens of Maryland. I wouldn't.
But from his
And he's not going anywhere. It's a
on his
bluff.
position, Nestor, he feels like it's a buyer's market, that he feels like the longer he waits, the sweeter the deal he's going to potentially get for him. He already knows he has $600 million in his back pocket. He's just looking to squeeze every single penny out of the Maryland Stadium Authority.
Yeah, well, it's not the Maryland Stadium Authority, it's Maryland citizens.
Citizen,
He's
there you
trying to
go. Citizen.
disband the Stadium Authority.
Yeah,
He's
that's
trying
right.
to get more money, crush the oversight, and then do whatever he wants with the money, including selling the team and keeping the land.
Oh, there's plenty
This
of that
is an
going on in in
Angelos
Baltimore. I mean,
family money grab. That's what this is nothing about the Orioles. If this had anything to do with the Orioles, they would have taken the first $600 million, gone back in, and said, "All right, now what else are we going to do? Let's go get me some more money. Here's my great idea. Let's go get me some more money."
well,
He doesn't have an idea.
part of the problem, Esther, is when you take 600 million, and you still don't spend money on improving your team, it just brings up a whole host of questions, right? I mean, right now
Well,
they
he
can
just gave you a
say.
$13 million relief pitcher,
Yeah,
so.
but look, they can he can term the team as a small market team, which is inaccurate. That's false. It's a mid-market team, and continue not to spend money if he doesn't have that money in his pocket. It's just a shell game. That's all it is.
Well, there's plenty of money coming from Major League Baseball to run a franchise. Nobody's losing money here. Nobody's hurting here. Certainly, where he is not having a higher payroll. They have a higher payroll now. They gave Craig Kimbrel $13 million this year. But the notion that they're going to make the fans happy in the offseason, I mean, the fans who are Oriole fans understand who they are. They go to the games anyway. All the people I know aren't, you know, neophyte to this. we're not going to have as much money as the Yankees. We didn't have as much money in the Yankees in 1977. It's why we lost Reggie Jackson, right? Like, it's why we lost Doug DeCinces. It's why we lost, you know, all those guys.
Mike Mussina,
Don Baylor.
It goes on and on.
The next generation, Mike Mussina. The next generation was Manny Machado, right? So this crying poor is part of their, it's part of their scripture. You know, it's part of their DNA is that they're never going to have as much money. And that's part of this going to the state and saying, we need more money to be more competitive, to be more. You're plenty competitive on the field. What is your idea for non? I've seen your baseball idea and it's not that great. Starting games at 6:30, Christmas in December, you know, Pride night, dog night, Star Wars night, bobblehead night. I mean, they've done that. I mean, we've seen that routine. What's your idea? You'll build a movie theater. You're going to build a sphere. You're going to bring U2 to town. You're going to have a boardwalk. You're going to sell French fries. You're going to sell crab cakes. You're going to build a park. What are you going to do? Build another structure that goes up to the moon. You have people live there and there's a ramen joint at the ground level. And you call that mixed use and there's parking, you know, up to the eighth floor. I mean, what's the idea? Oh, we need another hotel. Oh yeah. Build the Hilton. Nah, we need more hotels. What are you going to build?
Right.
I mean, there's half the city. You're seeing Toronto behind me. I mean, half of these buildings are empty in every city in the world because we've all gone to working from home. So a lot of the buildings need to become something else anyway. So when they start talking to me about we're going to build the bright, shiny object and everyone's going to come down here, Dennis, the baseball team was the bright, shiny object. That was the reason everybody was supposed to come. The baseball team's still there. They won 100 games. They are the bright, shiny object. What's your idea, John? What's your idea? Build a Buffalo Wild Wings outside, build a casino, you know, build a golf putting place. I mean, what is going to make people come down to that space and give you money that you're not going to bilk from our people?
Yeah, that's all great questions, Esther. Then questions we'll never get the answers to, right? We're still waiting for him to open up the books. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. And I took a lot of grief for 30 years for talking about the old man in the Greek community, in the East Baltimore community, in the, and all these years later, it really is amazing that it's sunk to this where we're 3 weeks out on a lease. Everybody's playing leverage they don't have, you know, team's not going anywhere. And I would, if I were the governor, I'd call a press conference and say, I'm going to challenge Mr. Angelos here. We've given him – here's all the things we're doing for him for free. He doesn't want anything. He doesn't talk to the media. He bans media members. He, you know, does – he fought with his brother last year. I mean, what's your plan, Mr. Angelos? If we gave you $5 billion, what are you going to do with all the money to keep your baseball team here?
Keep it.
Bet it on horses.
Invest it. Invest it wisely. Glad you asked, Nestor.
Well, they're not investing it in the community. They're not investing
in Tennessee, where he lives at, right? That's where the investment goes to.
I love Baltimore so much, I left it.
I left it, right. Left it.
Well, I mean, from the baseball perspective, I didn't expect anything. I'm shocked they spent $13 million on a relief pitcher. I really am. You know what I mean? I see that as sort of an olive branch to the fans to say, we're not going to let the bullpen go naked. We're going to have a real relief pitcher coming out of the bullpen in the ninth inning. And I think the Phillies fans would tell you, you know, Kimbrel's fine, but it's not – don't expect him to be better than Bautista because it's going to be really hard to be better than Bautista was.
How about a starting pitcher somewhere, an ace?
That's going to be the trade thing, right? That's going to be something where they trade out of so that they don't have to pay a lot of money. I mean, they're not signing Blake Snell for $220 million. They're just not. And look, I took phone calls for a living as an art form here 30 years ago. So people would call me back in the day and, you know, can we trade Alex Ochoa for Barry Bonds? You know what I mean? And the trade part of this in the modern era is really all about saving money. It's about getting rid of players that are cheap to them to bring players in here that are cheap to us. And the other part about the Orioles, and I'll say this ahead of time, and I'll say this to Luke to be kind, whatever they are on April 1st isn't what they're going to be in August. You know, if they win games, they still have the big trump card of having young players that they can deal from. So they could deal for a starting pitcher August 1st. They didn't last year, the Scherzer thing and all that. But that's also, I don't think the offseason is the only thing they have going for them. I mean, and I've talked a lot more about the Leafs than I've talked about improving the team. You know, they won 101 games. As Luke said, they don't have to do anything. They can roll the ball
They
out there and
don't.
they can say, we already have a pretty good team. We already have a pretty good team.
They're here older, bigger, stronger, faster, more mature. Great off season, and you expect better, bigger things from this team.
Well, you expect Henderson to be better next year. You expect Westberg to be better next year. You
Rutschman,
expect a
everybody.
Rutschman to be better next year.
Sure.
I think you also expect Mullins and Hayes to maybe be getting to that point where, like, they're expensive players, and those are the guys you're going to get rid of to give their money to Henderson in the end, because Henderson's going to have all their money if you're going to keep him.
100% he will.
I mean, if you're going to keep him, you're going to leverage the company to $150 to $200 million today. So makes your company worth less on a resale, right? Right.
Of
So
course.
you know all about this. So anything they do to add payroll, to add real payroll, to add payroll into 26, 27, you know, a couple years out, would diminish them at sale time. And I don't, there's so much mystery in all of this. I mean, John's such a out. I mean, he's not a serious human being. He's not a serious baseball owner. He's not here every day. He's not on it every day, working it every day, out in front of people answering questions. But deep down in the recesses of his mind, he knows if his father dies tonight, tomorrow morning, his world's different. I mean, it's going to be wildly different in regard to whatever his father's will is, whatever Major League Baseball is going to try to do to wrest control of the franchise or stabilize the franchise in some way, in a way that this isn't stable. John Angelos negotiating on behalf of the Baltimore Orioles has not created a stable situation for Rob Manfred in Baltimore. There is no stability. I mean, we got the Stadium Authority guys saying, we'll let you play the April games. We'll think about May.
Right.
I mean, like, Major League Baseball can't function that way.
No,
And at
not at
some
all.
point, somebody from the state government should get on the phone with the commissioner. I've been told that by everybody who knows everything, that Angelos has intimidated Wes Moore and Craig Thompson to not talk to the commissioner of baseball. He has forbid them from talking to the commissioner of baseball.
Well, can never let the tail wag the dog, but that's exactly what's happening, Nestor. Like you said, there need to be deadlines. They need to get serious about putting a deal together.
Well, we got football this weekend too. So once that happens and the Ravens go out and win this week at home, and I mean, you have a catbird seat. There'll be no one talking about the baseball team
No.
around here the next 6 weeks if the football team wins every week. And even
Yeah.
if they lose, they're not going to win five games. But,
Look,
you know,
if they win
if
three
I were
games.
predicting right now, I think they'll go 2-3 the rest of the way. I think
Okay.
this is the time of the year when things really get tough.
Okay.
And I think these five games in a row, this isn't a 5-0 thing. This is a, they're going to play bad 1 week and lose. They're going to play good 1 week and lose. And they're going to be unlucky 1 week. And I
Yeah.
think that's what happens when you go out on the road the next couple of weeks. This is a huge game for them. This might be the easiest team they have left. And it's not easy with Aaron Donald and with Stafford. Steelers at the end, we'll see. But the next three are real games. I mean, going down to Jacksonville, despite what happened with Trevor Lawrence, and I think certainly Christmas night becomes, it's a, if they go out to San Francisco and win on Christmas night, that would be an amazing thing
It would
for the
be.
franchise, for them, for what they're trying to set up for January, especially because everybody in the world will be watching that game on Christmas night. So these next couple of weeks, I mean,
It's
they've
gonna
gotten
be
some
fun.
rest. It is fun.
It's fun.
It's a lot of fun, and they're not having this fun, much fun in a lot of other places in the NFL,
No, they'll
not in
be two and
Buffalo.
yeah, I'm thinking their floors 2 and 3, ceiling 3 and 2, somewhere between there. And that'll certainly make a difference in the playoff standings and home field advantage and things of that nature.
I don't think there's any question if they go 4-1, they'll be the one seed, right? If they go 3-2, maybe. If they
Maybe.
go 2-3, they're going to need some help. And it's going to depend on who they lose to. Losing to Miami, I mean, the Miami game might be for home field advantage by the time Kansas City loses another game or two, right? I mean, if the Ravens win today, win this week, and then, you know, I think next week's a winnable game for them in Jacksonville for sure. I mean,
Absolutely.
especially with Lawrence being, maybe
I
if
mean,
Lawrence doesn't play, they win. They should win.
they
They
should
better not
win.
lose the backup quarterback down there.
Right, they should win.
So, you know, they stack two more wins up. Now they're at 11-3. It's like, you know, that San Francisco game becomes something. Be nice to have it, but it's not the end of the world. Let's focus on beating Miami, because beating Miami would be the thing that pushes you over the edge to maybe rest starters against Pittsburgh.
Well, the Frisco game is going to be a very, very physical game. I'm really curious to see how they stack up against them. Of course, Niners just took down the Eagles in Philadelphia. Big boy game. Big game.
Got to keep Lamar healthy, man.
Got to,
especially with this offensive line situation and Mark Andrews. I mean, they're going to miss Mark Andrews the next 5 weeks.
They are.
Isaiah Likely's not going to be Mark Andrews, and I think that's going to cost them on third. You know, I mean, it's going to cost them the ball a couple times. You know, there's going to be some drives that are going to get stalled just because they don't have Mark Andrews. And when you start adding up the drives in their games, the way that their games, they don't have a lot of drives. They don't get the ball 10 times a game, right? You know, they get the ball 6, 7, 8 times a game, 1 or 2 times, third down, Mark Andrews isn't there. You're punting instead of maybe scoring a touchdown on a drive. And that was something for them when they got in fourth and short and they go for it and they were doing all that crazy stuff a couple of years ago. A lot of that is having a binky in Mark Andrews. It's not going to be there on 3rd and 5, 3rd and 8. And we'll see how Lamar does with this. But exciting time for sports, man. I mean, won the division in baseball, about to win the division in football. No reason they shouldn't win. I mean, they better win the division, right? I mean, nobody better catch them out of this pack.
Not at all. Well, keep having fun up there in Toronto. Have fun with Geddy Lee, and we'll catch up with you when you get back.
Hang in, have some eggnog. And relax. How about that, everybody?
More than usual here lately. With that, we'll take a next break. 1570 AM WNSC. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.